the Frames Per Second Podcast. This is the Frames Per Second Podcast movie review. So we're starting this out with If Beale Street Could Talk, which is a black who directed, who did this one?
Barry Jenkins.
Which is who?
He did Moonlight.
Okay, that's right.
So that's
based
the connection.
Off of James Baldwin, okay. Novel.
Yeah.
James Baldwin.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So basically, it's a story based in the '70s in Harlem. You know, a daughter and wife to be, Tish. Tish Wright, that's her name.
Yeah.
Okay. Tish. Is in a relationship with a childhood friend, and you know she you know, he goes to jail. Alfani is his nickname. His actual name is Alonzo Hunt, and he went to jail, man. He went to jail for something he didn't do, alleged rape, and that's it. So that's kind of the gist of it. So what did you guys think about the movie? Now, Rod, I know you said that it's been a while since you've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Same for me.
So
yeah, it's been a little. I think I saw it opening weekend or something like that.
Yeah,
I saw it
when it was still in limited, like when it was like. Oh, theaters.
Mike,
well,
yeah.
You need to adjust your mic, cause
what?
Yeah, it was off to the side.
Yeah, it was like off to the side.
What about now?
Yeah. No, you were talking this way.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's my bad. Yeah, I had saw it when it was still in limited theaters. That's how long it's been since I saw it. Cause like people, I think when people was like, you see, If Beale Street Could Talk, it's like it's out now. I'm like, this movie been out. Like it's.
And
it's,
I saw it when it officially came out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So there was hype around the movie.
I don't know if it was hype. I mean,
like, it was promoted
maybe
very
in the
well.
Black community. Maybe
yeah. I would say Oscar hype, like because it was towards the middle or end of Oscar season,
and then Regina King starring in it too.
Yeah,
and stuff,
and
like,
her nomination and all that. So people, when the award season started, that's when like, all right, you hearing about all these movies?
I think she won. She actually won a Golden Globe for her.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I got to hear the awards from the movie. The Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress, Motion Picture. Satellite Award for Best Supporting Actress, Motion Picture. Mm-hmm. Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Supporting Actress. And National Society of Film Critics Award for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, she won.
And then the nominations are Academy Award for Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Golden Globe Award for Best Motion Picture Drama, Academy Award for Best Original Music Score, an Academy Award for Best Writing Adapted Screenplay, and there are more. Mm-hmm. So it's
heavily nominated.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's deserved.
So I would just start here.
Okay.
All right. So when I initially, and I kind of talked about this off camera or off
mic,
recording, off the mic or whatever, is that I never had, for whatever reason, man, I just never had any desire to see it based on the trailer. It didn't really pull me in. I thought it was beautiful, the lighting, all that. It looked like probably was going to have great cinematography and all that. But it wasn't enough in the trailer for me personally.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think when I saw the trailer, I was kind of like, what is this movie about?
Yeah.
Like, I was really just seeing it just because it was based off a James Baldwin book. And I like James Baldwin. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to still go see this movie. But yeah, watching the trailer, I was just kind of like, what is this movie going to be about?
I didn't
get that.
And I typically like that about trailers, but I don't know what it's going to be based off the trailer, but I needed a little more.
Yeah.
For this one in particular. So I will say, but my wife always wanted to see it based off the trailer. So I thought that was interesting. I was like, okay, well, you know, if you want to go see it, I'll go see it, you know, and then obviously just supporting black films.
Right.
You know, so I would want to go see it off the strength of that. But, cause I didn't realize it was the director Moonlight, cause I love Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I didn't know that information until after I saw it.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I just saw James Baldwin, and I was like, so that's the reason why I saw it.
Yeah, got you. So I just start there.
So after watching it,
I thought it was the most boring movie I ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It was. I'm with Rod, man. I was disappointed after I watched it, man.
The most boring movie.
Yes, I think it was the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life.
I can't say like, in my life because I had to think. But when I left the movie theater, I was like, man, this is some bullshit, man. Like,
yo,
I was
And
the way it
I
ended,
wanted it to be good.
Yeah, me too.
Because
I was waiting for something. Yes, I was waiting for like a moment.
To wait for, though.
But
bro.
But there was really nothing to wait for. Like,
you don't think it was nothing to wait for?
So you was cool with it, but like how everything ended. Like,
it was weird, like when I was watching, I was like, man, this shit weird as hell. Like, what the hell is going on here? You know, like what the fuck? Like, and they use a lot of silence, and they use a lot of music to tell the story.
And I like that. I like that type of writing. You know what I'm saying? I pride myself on being able to tell a story with not much writing, but man,
that not even that scene where but it was in the living room.
Okay.
Oh, that's my favorite scene. Talking about when the parents came over.
Exactly. Yeah.
Regina King's character and the husband, I'm surprised they even let the mothers continue to talk about their daughter like that. Because a real black family.
But they handle their business though. It took a minute. They got to it though.
I
felt like that was. I felt like that was. They didn't give much. I feel like that scene was more about like their relationship in totality of the two families.
Okay.
And that was just more of like the tension, like it's finally tension breaking.
And their class differences between the two.
Okay.
They walked in all sedity and shit. Okay. You know, and they didn't really want any of the stuff that they had to offer. But you had Frank, I think, is Fonny's dad. And it seemed like he came from the street.
He was the realest nigga in the room.
Well, both of them was real.
Yeah, you could tell. Because when they first came in, you could tell, like, okay, they already got that camaraderie.
He never left the hood.
Right.
But his wife and the way they raised their kids. Yeah. Because Frank came
and
it makes you think,
how did the son end up the way he was by, you know what I'm saying? Was he under the dad a lot, or was he with the mother and
the
sister?
What do you mean by the way he was?
Like, just, I'm talking about the one that was in jail.
How did they even get together? How did they get together based on how they families don't rock?
Not that, but just how he, like, how the son kind of end up being, like, not Sadidi, I guess, like, the mother.
Because he had a good balance, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Remember when he went to the restaurant, he was speaking the...
Spanish.
And she was looking at him, you know, drooling. Right. She was like, ooh, he cultured. He knows some stuff.
Right.
Speak to me like that, daddy.
Yeah. I feel like, though, with them supposed to be, like, childhood friends, I feel like they still were awkward, like, as a couple.
Yeah. That sex scene was one of the most awkward sex scenes
ever. It's like, if this is supposed to be your childhood friend, like, you should be the most comfortable with this person.
I don't know if they were awkward, though. I think that's the way they just
the girl was awkward.
Shot it and put it together.
It looked like how I usually do it, like ebony porn, where the black girl don't really look like she want to be there.
Well, here's the thing that I had, the problem that I had. She doesn't look old enough to have sex, and I felt little weird watching it. It's like, yo, she looks like a little girl. Like, I don't want to watch this.
She does have like a youthful features. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want it. Just like,
and then with him being the aggressor and having to talk her into it, it was just
this
like.
This movie was just too. Well, oh, man. I did not like this movie. Man, I did and then not, like, and I really and then like,
the,
like
I wish
it.
They would have dove in. I guess to his best friend, the one that was dad. Just like,
nah, I thought that was perfect. That was perfect.
He could have got a nomination
about
off that.
Because think about it, right? So if I remember correctly, is he, Fonny, and Tish were talking. He was, you know, in prison. He was like, "Do you know what they?" He yelled at her. He snapped. He said, "Do you know? You don't know what they're doing to me in here."
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew what he was talking about, but we didn't know until the friend story came after that. So that's when he ran into his boy that had been out for like 3 months.
3 months, yeah.
And remember, he came over, he had dinner, and then he had that real talk. He was like, "Yo, man, how long you been out?" He was like, "About 3 months." And then he just be like, "Yeah, man, it's like the system, the man. Yeah. You know, they just do everything to you."
That was a pretty good scene. That was probably one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yes.
And then also, it was also interesting as far as like how black men communicate. Because he kept asking him like how he was doing. He kept saying, "Nah, I'm good, I'm good."
Yeah, and then
he finally just broke down, and he was just like, "Hey, man, this..."
They can do anything to you in there.
He said,
and I mean anything.
It kind of made him realize, like, I would never trust white... Like, the white man is out to get us for real. Like, that's what... I felt like you could feel that emotion from that scene. Right.
And
because this was set in when? What time?
Like the 70s.
The 70s, 70s, right?
I don't think it had, like, exact year, but it was definitely in the 70s.
But think about, like, we had all of that information, and he knew all of that stuff before he even went in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So he knew that shit was fucked up. And, you know, he knew that the system was fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still ended up getting caught up in the system itself. And ended up going in for shit that
he didn't even
do. You know, he didn't even do.
But he knew he shouldn't have talked to that cop that way, man. Like, you know that.
But at the same time, it's like...
It's the plot. It's pride. He was very prideful.
His woman, young black
woman
was
there. Black man.
His woman was there.
You know what was what caught my eye about that scene was the white man, the cop, and then the black man and the woman like in between, like standing like right there shielding him. And, you know, and she was like, no, basically defending him. It's taking up for him.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting seeing how, like, if you hear about black women and like, the history of, you know, slavery and their relation to black men and the things that they do in order to protect black men, the sacrifice they have to make. And seeing that put on screen like that was really interesting. And then him going around the corner, you know, and they walking. He walking ahead of her. And then he was like, yo, don't ever take up for me like, ever again. Yeah. You know, I can handle my whole business. So his pride got in the way.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't need you to protect me. And then he snapped at her again.
I feel you. To me, this movie was full of potential. And that's it. Yeah. It was just full of potential. Yeah. And it just never fulfilled.
It never knocked the ball out
the
park.
Yeah, just never knocked it out
did
the
you like
for
the,
me.
Did you like the acting at all?
No, I did not like the acting. I was going to get there. I didn't like the lead actress. I don't understand why Regina King is getting Best Supporting Actress for this.
I don't either.
I'm like, what did she do? Like,
did
like,
you not see that scene where she went to Mexico? I think it was Mexico, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then she talked to the to how she even had to get to the girl and had that conversation between them two.
Yeah.
And it was like that was a powerful scene because that girl was raped, but she just chose the wrong guy as far as the acute like the person that she felt like did the raping and. She was like, you don't, for her to question her, like, you made a mistake, you got to correct it. And it's like, to make her relive that whole scene
so
again.
You thought that was powerful for
real? I thought that was a powerful scene just to play off of, like, how a victim of rape, like, no matter what, like.
But enough in a totality to be nominated
she got a
to
Golden
win
Globe
right.
Best Supporting Actress, bro.
First of all,
like think about what is like that. That was not that powerful. It's not
and
that memorable.
Really
it's not
yeah,
that powerful.
I didn't finish watching that. Saying, man,
I was
Regina
so
King knocked that out the park. Like I have to feel
thing,
that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry, B.
I'm
was,
no,
almost
you good.
Over-talking.
No, you good. You good.
I couldn't wait to talk about this particular part.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out like what, why, like why did she get. All of this
I mean, congratulations to her, but it's just like,
was it because she had like a dead face throughout the whole movie that she was able to accomplish that? Like, I don't.
It wasn't
understand.
A dead. She showed emotion throughout the film, like especially that particular scene. She was crying.
That's
she
the only scene that I'll give you. But even that one in itself, man, it's not enough
it's
for,
not,
to,
be,
to
like,
be like,
oh yeah,
Academy Award winning.
Yes, yes. Because I think she's nominated for Oscar.
Yes.
Hey, wow.
I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Y'all really shitting on this.
I don't see it. No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
That's probably one of Mike's scenes.
I didn't see it, man.
I'm curious to see what Mike thought about it, man.
And I'm not saying, like, I
respect Mike.
And I'm not gonna say like this is the greatest movie of all time movie of the year. I'm just saying like there were because like I was going through up and downs with this film as well because there were some scenes where I was like, oh, this is really good. This is where it's gonna hit off.
And then
it kind of went. It was a roller coaster movie for me. And but the one thing that stood out to me, I'll give the good stuff first.
Okay.
Cinematography.
I think this
is probably one of the most beautiful films.
Absolutely.
I think Barry Jenkins finally, like, he has his signature style as far as how he directs.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, the colors pop. The way he gets black people of all different shades and colors in the right lighting and everything.
Absolutely.
The way he makes you focus on black people as far as just not as side characters or extras, but as just people makes you take everything in because it's an emotional movie.
Right.
That was great. Now, as far as the story itself, I think the potential, I feel like you were just wanting something more climactic or a better resolution for the film as far as if you're going to go through all this.
It has to be
some type of reward.
Yeah, it wasn't satisfying.
I agree with that. But as far as saying it was boring, I was actually very interested in seeing I guess it was more like not all stories are going to end in happy endings. And I think this story was just more of like this was a day in the life of particularly black story in the 70s. And most, if we're gonna talk about the oppression and everything that we go through in this country historically, this was a great representation of that in film.
I feel like the still shots that they had in this movie was more powerful than the actual film itself. Like going back to those old oppressed like scenes and stuff. I feel like that was this movie could have been a slideshow and been better than what it was.
God dang.
Like, you want to take, you want me, you want to rock this hat?
I just got to be real.
It was that bad.
I got to be real with people, yeah, man. Like, I do not understand. I understand we be on our black shit and all that.
Then how did you, how did you like Moonlight? Because to me,
what?
The story.
Oh, Moonlight was dope.
Moonlight was dope.
I thought this story was better than Moonlight. Story-wise.
Moonlight was so complex, bro.
Yes, man. Moonlight was so complex.
Like you said yourself, this is just a day in the life.
No, I'm saying this is just a snapshot of of what's going on. So Moonlight was the same. The way he plays with timelines, he did the same thing in this one as what he did with Moonlight. And like, how is this story that much different for you?
The timelines what didn't pull you in though. Like what? So what did the timelines do for you?
Where they show, because the whole point is that he couldn't have done this crime, because remember when she explained it, like in the quick 15 to 30 seconds, she was like, he was over here, like how could he run across, like across town and all that at the same time and all that,
right.
And then to see the timeline of like showing that dinner scene, because that was his alibi, that he couldn't have done it because he was having dinner with his friend at the time, they was all together. And that was when you saw that powerful scene of his friend expressing what it's like to be in jail back in the day, and how he don't want to go back. Okay. And then the timeline of showing them growing up, their love, him getting that house for them, planning out their future, and how all that just changed dramatically in 1 second because of, you know, being black in America.
I'll just go back to the acting part, right? I don't think the lead actress was strong enough for this role. I don't think her acting skills.
1000% agree.
I don't think her acting skills were strong enough to play this part. Mm-mm. It's like, I do not believe this little child. Like, I just don't like it. The lead actress, the dad, I think was horrible acting wise.
Horrible?
Yes, bro.
Nah, man.
Y'all gotta watch this shit again.
No, I did. Not again. But which one? Domingo? Colt?
The main girl's
Tish's
father.
Daddy.
Dad.
Nah, man.
He wasn't bad.
He was bad.
Especially when
y'all need to watch
the scene at the bar where he was comment like
maybe I'm used to him from Fear the Walking Dead.
Maybe so.
That's probably what it is.
Maybe so. He was bad.
I'm used to
whoever he is. Fear the Walking Dead.
I will say the lead actress, I don't think she was horrible, but her sister is a better is the better actor, because I love her. I love.
She should have been the lead.
She was in
Shawshank.
She should have been the lead actress.
About the Adam's apple.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah, she was.
She's really good.
His dad was good. She was good. Actually, the guy was good too.
Yeah,
the lead actor was good. I'm trying to think who else I thought, and obviously.
Brian Tyree
Paperboy,
Brian Tyree,
whatever.
Henry,
he was good.
Oh yeah.
And he only had that one scene.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you.
But he killed the whole movie.
And he killed. Like, yeah, he stole
in a good way. Yeah.
So then, how can you say this film was boring, horrible, and you picking out all this good stuff?
Because I said it's a movie full of potential. I said that. I'm not saying that it was just straight bad. I'm just saying that it was just boring. It just never hit. It's like it never hit a climax.
Nope, it didn't.
It didn't have a traditional structure. And I'm not saying that it has to. But I think this movie needed a traditional structure in order to be successful.
I was waiting for that moment, man.
It never happened,
It
never happened.
Did y'all read the story, or were y'all familiar with the story beforehand?
No.
So then maybe that could play a part into it
as well.
I don't
think so.
Because you went into it blind some sense.
No, I have enough common sense to know that this was a point in time. They pulled out a point in time in the 70s. I know that's enough for me. I don't need to read. I shouldn't have to read nothing to get this movie. Not get it, but to enjoy this movie.
Right.
Nah, bro. This ain't it, man. I'm sorry, man. I know you look disappointed.
Nah, no, he does. It's like, he looks so sad. Like,
nah, because I think, when you were going down the list of nominations, I was like, Barry Jenkins should have got a nomination for Best Director, in my opinion, for this film. Because directing-wise, I thought it was really done well.
What you think, film guy?
I won't say really well, but I won't shit on this directing. No, it was more the acting, probably more the acting, maybe the writing.
He wrote it as well too.
The way he decided to tell James Baldwin's novel.
So that would be directing. Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't think he should have got a nomination for directing. Cinematography should have definitely got a nomination.
Because it was shot beautiful.
Yeah. But nah, man. Directing, nah. I don't think so.
Man, y'all just...
I don't think so.
I thought this film was... again, it's a roller coaster film. I'm not saying this, it should be best picture.
Right.
But I will say that I did come away from it thinking, like, I'm seeing the progression. Like, if we're talking about black films and how they're kind of getting back up and, like, there's kind of, like, a renaissance for it, like, with him, Ryan Coogler, Ava DuVernay, I thought this was a progression because I thought Moonlight.
When you say a progression, what do you mean by
that? As far as him becoming, like, into his own. Like, if this is.
I would choose Moonlight over this every time, bro. Every time.
And that's your opinion. But I think as far as story-wise, I see a progression as far as his writing from Moonlight to this. Then
it's artsy.
Yes.
It's artsy. But better movie, man? Nah. Mm-mm.
It's definitely artsy.
This ain't it, man.
I think I'm kind of with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Who's you guys?
B and Modest.
Yeah, I'm the minority in this.
Right.
But because it the potential, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, was right there. Very artsy, you watching. But I think for me, like, there are two scenes that steal the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was the one with Paperboy from Atlanta.
Yep.
And I think what he said and everything he said really was the movie. If you think about it, because the movie was about, you know, the prison industrial complex and, you know, just black people's place in America, especially during the 70s, you know, and then the family scene, you know, when they brought the family over, it was like, yo, she about to, and she had to make the announcement, like, I'm about to have a daughter, and the different classes between the two families, like the real Sedidi family, and then, you know, Regina and them just being just like Regina King and her family.
Very supportive.
Very supportive, but also like how there could be a divide between, you know, within the black community. You saw that play out.
Yeah.
As well, and then just even bringing in the religion part of it, you know, also, and then, you know, the violence when he got up and he slapped the mom,
yeah,
and then, you know, she never recovered. I think she still recovered because she laid on that floor for a minute.
It reminded me of
laid on that floor for a minute.
That slap scene from Family That Prays. Remember when he slapped Sanaa Lathan over the counter?
She was so over the top. Like, she was just sitting there over the top.
They had to pick her
up. She didn't come out of her mood until she was getting ready to leave.
Yep.
And that's when she started talking to Regina. And then Regina snapped back and stuff. And then the way the sister, you know, wanted to step up. But they were trying to be so cordial and so polite to the people that obviously didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was dope. And just seeing, like, the two families just try to get along, you know, and those were the two standout scenes. And then it got all the way to the end, and basically, you know, we know what happened. He never got out. Oh, and I do think the scene between Regina and the victim. So I can't think of Regina King's name in the movie, and just real quick, last point, and it, just how touching her was the trigger, and old girl lost it.
Yeah, just ran off. Yeah.
And then, you know, her saying, like, I'm a woman. I know something happened to you. I just know it wasn't my boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was dope. But those are really the three standouts. Everything else was just, you know, visually, how it was represented visually. Mm-hmm. But it was there was some corny scenes. Yeah, I know people in relationships can be corny. Like, oh, you see this fridge just over here? Let's
awkward
move this fridge.
Scenes,
like, what
though.
The hell is that?
Just awkward.
You know,
scenes.
And then the guy that they were, that they, you know, him trying to get a place to stay and couldn't get it because he was black.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they got what race? What was he? The one, was he Jewish?
I think he was Jewish.
Yeah,
I believe so.
And him being the one to give him a chance, and the dialogue between the two. I thought that was cool. And then they walking out, and again goes back to what you were talking about, just how it was shot, and he yelling out, and she yelling out, and you could tell she was excited because she got a little running start. Let she start running in place, and then shot over to her like she was fucking Sonic.
What about that scene when she was talking about her job? Like, when she was at work.
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all...
And like how the scene? Black man smelled their own hand and the white man smelled the woman's hand. And
like
keep
I said,
it was
artsy. It had its creative points, but that's one of them points where it's like, okay, all right, this movie going to get good.
That's the potential you was talking about. That potential you was talking about.
Again, it's like, okay, now what?
But it was artsy, but I think, like, the implications of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we're really dope.
Yeah, absolutely.
She said, there was a lot said... And just like two or three
words.
Sentences. I thought that was dope. Mm-hmm. And just because, again, you think about, like, you know, black women once again, you know, in slavery and how, you know, they're overly sexualized. They and the fact that and their you know, like pieces that, mm-hmm. you know, that white woman loved, you know, and he would just take it and just smell it, mm-hmm. you know, and then you just, you're basically like, you know, a toy.
Yeah, objectified.
You know, you're a toy. And then the black men don't even want to smell a black woman's, like pull the black woman
well,
to him.
I right. took that as more of like respectful, like the different, like, based on race mm-hmm. and based on maybe even class, the respectfulness, how they treat servitude. Like when it comes to black men, they're like, I'll smell my, I don't need to, you know, grab your hand. That's what the
so,
white men.
So again, so kind of black pride, like.
Not pride, more just like, you know, I'm going to, you know, indulge you and, you know, take time to, if I'm intrigued by your product, I'll do it in a certain way that's different than how white men do it. Whereas like, oh, like let me grab you and smell it and just hold it there, which is kind of weird and, you know, creepy.
Entitlement. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can grab
you if I want to. Yeah.
Oh, the white man grabbing the black.
Yeah, you're here to serve me.
Right. But what about the black man not grabbing the?
It was more respect. Yeah, it was more respect. Like I respect your space. I respect who you are.
How did you look at that?
I hear what you're saying, and that's another way to look at it. But I also look at, like, you know, there's our black queens. You know what I'm saying? And black men, you know, sometimes, or there's this idea that black men don't, you know, respect the black queens and willing to take their hand and pull their hand up to them and, you know, smell them and smell their hand. It's more like I'm smelling myself. It's all about me, you know, so kind of also a plan to, you know,
that's the way I look at it, too.
What did y'all take as far as the film? Who do you think suffered more based in this story? Was it Fonny or Tish? Because when it was over and I was thinking, like, damn, like, because there was one scene where he was like, just kind of normal looking, just in prison clothes. Then the next few months later, when she went to go visit him, he was all beat up and stuff, and he didn't really explain what happened. But she could see that he's been going through something. But she's also on the other side. You see her being pregnant at work. You know how difficult it is to be a. Basically, she's a single mom. Love of her life is just still is right. in the picture.
Right. I think they suffer equally in a sense.
Yeah,
it feels like it.
Yeah,
yeah. It feels like it.
It definitely felt like it was equal. Obviously, he's suffering mentally and physically, where she's just suffering, like, I guess, mentally.
And then the idea of having to raise, you know, not only a black child, but then this black child, like, he copped the plea, like, he's in there.
Right.
And then you're taking a kid to see his father behind bars and think about, like, how that plays out in the psychology of him. Mm-hmm. You know, it could create a cycle. Mm-hmm. And you're also breaking a black family.
Right.
You know, you have two people that were in love and wanted to do things the right way. And because of the way that things were back then, there was a wedge driven between them by the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have impacts for generations to come.
Yeah. What I wanted to know was, like, how many years did he get for that plea? Because the way that little boy, he said this, he drew a picture of, like, his dad was, like, how old he probably would look when he get out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, he got, like, some Tekashi 6ix9ine years. Yeah. Like, he got
time because the system back then wasn't fair. Right. You know, so, and the fact that she didn't, you know, the victim didn't want to come and admit that she lied. And even if she did, who knows if they were going to even
let
him out.
And I think the reason why I thought that was a powerful scene, because I think she just wanted someone to pay for her, you know, for her pain. Because even though she may have not have found the right person, like, she's still going through some trauma herself. And for her to relive that whole thing, to say, oh, no, that's not the right guy. And her, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Her.
That's a tough ask.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's,
like,
a tough ask. Because she got the fuck up out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Went so to have her, yeah, to have, ask her to come all the way back, you know, to save this man, you know, would have required a lot for the trauma that she went through. Like, you saw what the touch did. Like, it set her over the ledge. So to go back to the place where it happened, you know, to relive that all over again, that would have been difficult.
She playing Snowfall. You watch Snowfall?
I haven't.
She played Snowfall. When I saw her, I was like, oh, man, she playing Snowfall.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all that nuance, and you still saying
y'all
trash.
Listen to No Disrespect podcast. He ain't having it, man.
I didn't say trash. I'm just saying it was just boring. It was just boring, man.
It felt boring.
It had a lot of potential, but it was boring. And I wasn't the only person, because there weren't many people in the theater. We always, like, got up looking at each other like, what the fuck?
Yes,
what
dog.
What did we just watch?
Yes, dog. That's how I was. We was walking out the theater. We was like,
and it was different age ranges. Like, you know, my wife and I, we're, you know, late 30s. He had some that looked like they maybe be over 40. He has a younger couple in there. Like, all of us had the same reaction.
Yeah. But it feels like there's a conversation to be had here, and I think we kind of had it on Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. And just the
That's what I was going to bring up, too.
Type of movies that, you know, black people are accustomed to watching and seeing. And maybe this was just one of those that didn't connect because we're not used to as a whole, mm-hmm. are not used to watching, you know, movies.
Yeah, because there was some people like that about Moonlight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't really take it. I took my girl
to see this movie, and, like, I'm into film, so, like, I can pick out.
You'll watch it different.
Yeah, I watch it differently. People, yeah. She's the type of person where, like, it has to have a good ending or ending that makes sense. Like, right. She's more like cut and paste, like, beginning, middle, end, mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm starting to take her to see movies that kind of are, like, artsy. Uh-huh. And she felt the same way about this film, like, Moonlight. She didn't like the ending. Like, she was like, what was the...
Mm-hmm. Sometimes life just doesn't have an ending.
Exactly. Like, and I even took her to see Sorry to Bother You, and, like, she was messing with it up until the end, too, because then mm-hmm. it just went off the rails for her. Right. So I think...
Did she ultimately like it, though?
Not really. Right. Like, it's my more like... It's like one-offs. Like, she'll watch it once and be like, all right, you know, I'll move on.
Yeah, my wife didn't. She didn't like this movie either. And she was... She really wanted to see it. Like, she really was anticipating seeing this movie, and it just was like a complete...
And she felt that she was like... Mm.
She was like, man, what was that?
But what does that say about black independent directors now? Because you kind of starting seeing they're telling stories in a way that's not traditional at all.
The only
the only one that's kind of doing it is on a major scale, obviously, is Ryan Coogler, Ava.
Yeah, and Ava, yeah. But
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's still good. Don't get me wrong.
We need that.
Yeah, yeah, we do need it. You know, because there are going to be some people that appreciate this movie. Obviously, you do. You know, so that's fine. I would never say stop doing this. I think I said this on the Sorry to Bother You, too, because I think a lot of that gets lost because I'm so passionate about something that I don't like or something that I do like that it normally gets lost that I'm, like, actually fine with it. I just don't particularly like it or whatnot. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why I said, you know, while I dislike this movie, I will go on record and say that there's a lot of potential in this movie. This movie is shot beautifully. Like, there are some good things about this movie, but if you don't... I was bored as shit, and I just want to forewarn you, if you go see this movie, don't think it's going to be exciting or whatever. You could just go and appreciate it for the cinematography and some of the good scenes. But if you're just going to look at a fulfilling movie, I don't think this one is it.
There was a curiosity there because I was just nosy, like, okay, where is this going to go? Like, the boredom was there, but I'm like, okay, where is this going to go?
Right.
I had to see it to the end.
Right. And it's a letdown.
Very.
But you said yourself, though, but I guess you're kind of in between
all of us.
Because you're like, sometimes stuff don't have an ending. Like, I get that. And I'm fine with that, too, because I just watched the movie Upgrade, and it's not necessarily an ending,
right.
But the way they ended that shit was great, I thought, but that's
getting and I think just the messaging in it, and, you know, not saying that that's enough to make the movie great or good, but I think the messaging was enough to... But it also depends on who's saying. But really quick, because we got to wrap up and close out. But I'm thinking about, like you said, a lot of potential. And then I'm thinking about what you were talking about, like the type of movies that black people are making or the different mm-hmm. filmmakers are making. And I'm thinking about a missed opportunity, right? Because I see a chance here for guys to take, like, the black novels of the past and tell really good stories from them. So what if they told this in a more traditional way mm-hmm. that was appealing, that black people watched, enjoyed, walked away, and talked about? Like, what could that have done for, like, the industry or black film creators to go back and say, okay, where's another story that I can pull and tell? Mm-hmm. You know,
I get that, but what I was thinking about this film was, like, if James Baldwin was alive, would he have liked this version that Barry Jenkins did? As far as how he wrote it, what he was thinking about it, and I don't know. I can't answer that. You can't answer that question, of course. But
I can. No, he would not have liked this shit.
Yeah, I don't think he would like this. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think he would like this.
I would like, no, because I'm sure his book is way more powerful than this story.
Well, then if I do like that notion though, that we probably should start going back. If this is the reboot era and, like, you know, IP, you know, it, with built-in audiences, mm-hmm. we should go back in, like, black history as far as mm-hmm. black written stuff, novels, and try to put that into film.
Yeah.
And see how does that translate in the modern world.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get you.
So I have a real quick question.
Yes.
Just for you. Have you read the book?
No, I haven't read the book. I'm reading the conversation with him and Nikki Giovanni right now. Mm-hmm. I'm reading that, and the way he talks, he kind of is direct, but at the same time, I feel like how well traveled he was and how everything was nuanced to him, the way he spoke and thought, I want to say he would have liked this film.
Because he wouldn't want the message.
Well, yeah.
But we got the message, though, right? You get the message. You just don't like the way it was told.
You got the message in like, parts, but not, like...
direct throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
That shit was not direct throughout the whole film.
Like, the message was really in one scene. Everything else was kind of, like, implied, nuanced, and, you know, inferred. You got the message in one scene at the table, which was a dope scene. Like, the conversation that they had, but... but yeah,
that's it,
I don't know. But
I'm sorry, bro. You look so disappointed.
Nah, because I mean, like, damn, like,
I know. So, hey,
I'm trying to make people to get this movie up. Like,
hey, I know you are. I know you are. Hey, it's Black History Month. Yeah. I get it, bro.
This is a bad Black History Month.
I get it.
Hey, man.
Black History Month has been weird. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
But nah, man. Not, like, I I'll say this. I still encourage people to go see it. Just like I said, though, just be prepared. Don't go in this thing.
Rob pretty much saying, be prepared to be pissed off when you leave the building. That's what he's saying pretty much.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that.
Look on your face. It's like, look, all right now. Go ahead. You about to be pissed off. He's just saying it in a nicer way.
Put your phone on silent and turn the light down.
Nah, keep your phone on. Right. Keep your phone on because you need to be scrolling on. There's some bull.
Dim the light. Dim the light.
But I will say this, man. I wish we do need to do these like right after we see the movies, because I had so much other stuff that I wanted to touch on with this movie. So I want to going forward. I think we need to do these.
Last question: are you excited about his next film?
What's based his next film?
I'm just saying, like, the next thing he creates.
No, absolutely. Because I said it had so much potential. I want to see him get it right.
Okay.
I want to see him get it right. Just like the guy with Sorry to Bother You. Not saying that he didn't get it right, because obviously he got out what he wanted to get out. But I want to see what else that guy does. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, the conversations that took place after, like when Moonlight dropped, like that's all people were talking about. Mm-hmm. Are people really talking about this movie like that?
The Academy, people they're really talking about it. But like, I want to say people that I saw that actually went to go, real people, they're like, yo, what's the hype? Yeah, I you know what I'm saying, like what is happening? I guarantee if you, because like
that's how I felt about Moonlight a little bit.
Man, nah, bro, you tripping.
Yeah, Moonlight was good.
Moonlight was dope, man.
Yeah. Alright, well, that's it. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Frames Per Second podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe and go check out the movie, man, and let us know, you know, are we tripping? Is Nick right from the No Disrespect podcast? I usually am, so we're gonna see. and just overall, just support it, man. And that's it. So, and let us know what you guys want us to watch next. So we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.